We'll read word to word translation. Peshalai, clever, Bhinna, bewildered, Dhi, his mind, Vismrita, forgetting, Shirshni, on his head, Swa, his own, Hastam, hand, Kumati, foolish, Nyadhat, placed. Translation. Shukdev Goswami continued. Thus bewildered by the personality of Godhead's enchanting artful words, foolish Vrika, without realizing what he was doing, placed his hand on his head. Shloka number 36. Instantly his head shattered as if struck by lightning bolt and a demon fell down dead. From the sky were heard cries of victory, obeisances, well done. Text number 37, translation. The celestial sages, Pitas and Gandharvas rained down flowers to celebrate the killing of sinful Vrikasur. Now Lord Shiva was out of danger. Text number 39, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then addressed Lord Girisha, who was now out of danger. Just see, O Mahadev, my Lord, how this wicked man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. Indeed, what living being can hope for good fortune if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe? Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, this statement of Lord Vishnu's implies a mild scolding. Lord Vishnu is implying in these words, "My dear possessor of unlimited vision, O you of clear intelligence, benedictions should not be given to wicked demons in this way. You could have been killed, but you were only concerned about saving this poor soul, so you disregarded what would happen to you as a result." Thus, Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, Lord Narayan's mild rebuke also highlighted Lord Shiva's exceptional compassion. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। दिस इज द सेकेंड लास्ट श्लोक ऑफ दिस चैप्टर। सो मोर और लेस मेनी डिवोटीज हैव स्पोकन ऑन डिफरेंट पॉइंट्स कनेक्टेड टू दिस चैप्टर। We'll highlight on one particular aspect that comes out of this pastime that we are discussing for the last so many days. This is that Vrikasura is an asur. Vrikasura is a demon or a person with a demoniac mentality. We may not have many demons around the way we expect, but then we are talking about the mentality. So here is a person who approached a Param Bhagavat, Mahabhagavat, Narad Muni and ended up asking him, who's the easiest to please? He could have asked him many other questions. He could have asked him, what is the best process to benefit oneself? Who's the best person to benefit oneself? So, just the very question indicates the approach of a demoniac person. He wants the easiest route. He does not want the best route. He does not want the route that will help him or possibly others. But even if he is selfish, even if he says, I want benefit for myself. So tell me something that will benefit myself. But that's not what he is speaking. He is saying, who's the easiest one to please? Now the easiest one to please may not be the person who can help you the most. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate Vidu Swartha Gatim. He Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, everyone is interested in Swartha, everyone is interested in self-interest. But he is saying, the materialists, they don't even know what is their Swartha. They don't even know what is true benefit for themselves. So they end up asking something that is harmful for themselves, thinking that it is something for my good. I got it my way. So here is a Vrikasura, here is a typical example Vrikasura who is saying, what is the easiest way, who is the easiest person to please? So Narad Muni is an honest devotee. Unless he sees something good coming out of it, he will also not change the answer to a particular question. So the answer to that question is, the easiest person to please is Ashu Tosh. Ashu is quick, Tosh is Santosh. So Ashutosh is Lord Shiva. The easiest person to please, the quickest person to please is Lord Shiva. And he gives that answer. If he could have seen something more about Vrikasura, probably he could have said, you are asking me question A, but I would like to give you answer to question B. He could have given some another answer. But then he saw, so he gave that answer straight. So then Vrikasura has now understood who's the easiest person to please, and now he'll pursue in that direction. Now he'll worship Lord Shiva. So, somebody would assume, who's the easiest person to please? Okay, this person is the easiest to please. So now you worship that person. So how do you worship that person then? So if you read the activities of Vrikasura, he worships that person in a very tamasic way. He is not offering flowers. He is not offering pushpa. He is not offering arghya. He is not offering chamar. He is not offering dhupa, deepa. This is standard ways to worship somebody. How is he worshipping? He is worshipping at Kedarnath. So somewhere close by is Ganges. He could have offered Ganga water. So how is he doing? What is he doing? He starts cutting off pieces of flesh from his body and is offering into the sacrificial fire that represents Lord Shiva. So it won't take us lot of time to understand this person is a crooked person. That's why he ends up asking the wrong question. Even after getting the person, knowledge about the person who can be pleased the easiest, how is he worshipping him? So how you worship, how you approach, how you talk also reflects your personality. So he starts cutting off his flesh. It means he's not a very refined person, he's not a cultured person. Mostly his thoughts are very contaminated, his ideals are very contaminated. What he wants to gain by worshipping this person who can be pleased the easiest is also very contaminated. So he starts chipping off pieces of flesh. He's trying to please Lord Shiva in this way. No, Lord Shiva cannot be pleased in this way. But Lord Shiva, one of the characteristics of Lord Shiva is, sometimes they call him Bholenath. He is a very simple-hearted person. So, he's not pleased by the offerings of flesh, but he is pleased by this person's determination to please me. He's doing something to please me. A soft-hearted person is not looking at what you are doing. He's just saying, you know, it seems he's desperate to get my attention. So that's why it's easier to please Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is a soft-hearted person. You do something to please him and he says, oh, he's doing something to please me. So Lord Shiva, as he's cutting off pieces of flesh, then he takes a hatchet and is about to cut off his own head. That is at a critical time Lord Shiva comes and he says, oh, no more. What do you want? So Vrikasura says, he got that answer from somebody bona fide. He approached this person. He did it in his own way now. Here is a person who can award him something very great. This is Lord Shiva. Mahadev. Devadi Dev. Mahadev. So he could have asked something to benefit him. Somebody could have asked, a materialist could have asked, give me wealth. Give me pleasures. Give me immortality. Like two other great personalities have asked, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. Yes. But this is another example of his foolishness, tamasic nature. Instead of asking something for my benefit, I end up asking something of others' destruction. So here is very ghor tapasya, something very painful to kill yourself slowly. And after undergoing that intense tapasya, in a tamasic way, then here is a great personality who comes and says, okay, what do you want? So you could have asked for something beneficial for yourself. If you were little broad-minded, you could have asked something beneficial for somebody else connected to you. If you are really broad-minded, you could have asked something for the benefit of the whole world. But what does he end up asking? He ends up asking something to destroy others, not for his own benefit. Yes. So one thing is, there are two neighbors. One has a home, another also has a home, roughly similar homes. So let's say one person pleases some demigod, some great person, say, what do you want? Then he could have said, give me a bigger home. Give me a bigger home than my neighbor. So I'm benefiting myself. He has this wealth. Give me double his wealth, like that. Yes, benefiting oneself. What is he asking? He's saying, let my home remain as it is. You make his home half. You destroy his home. Yes, this is such a low mentality. One devotee was asking a riddle. In one program, he drew a line on the board. It was a line of certain length. Then he said, I want to make this line shorter. How to do it? So another person said, simple. Take an eraser, rub it, cut it, something like that. He said, no, you can't touch it. Without touching this line, how do you make this line shorter? So then one devotee, he said, okay, without touching it, I don't know how to make it shorter. Then he said, take the pen, take the pencil and draw a longer line next to it. By drawing a longer line next to it without touching the previous line, you make the previous line shorter. Yes? So, one way to benefit yourself is to improve yourself. Yes? You make yourself longer. you become better than what you were. In that sense, you outdo somebody with whom you feel you are competing. But here is a person, he says, I am not going to improve myself. I am not going to benefit myself. Never. Instead, my whole focus is to destroy others. So, the boon that he ends up asking is, this is in the 21st shloka of this chapter. It is mentioned. These are Vrikasur's words. He says, Yasya yasya karam shirshna dhasya sa mriyatamiti. This is the boon that he ends up asking. So the acharyas, they point out, he is using the word yasya yasya. No, you are repeating. In English, roughly, translation, I am not a Sanskrit pandit, but roughly it means, on whomsoever's head, yasya yasya shirshna. Jis jis ke sar ke upar main haath rakhunga, uski mrityu ho jane do. Mriyatamiti. Give me this boon. It means, just think about this, this is a person who's already decided, yasya yasya, I am going to put my hand on many personalities' head. He does not have enmity against one person in particular. He's already planned. Yasya yasya shirshna. Jis jis ke sar. He could have asked for a boon to benefit himself. He could have asked a boon to destroy one person. No! This is the height of tamasic behavior. This is the height of demoniac mentality. He wants to destroy not just one person. He wants to destroy many personalities. And even as he is asking this boon from Lord Shiva, he has already prepared his mind to first test it on Lord Shiva himself. So such an interesting character, this Vrikasur. There's no question of gratitude. There's no question of benefit. Gratitude is, you know, this person helped me. Even if I want to destroy people, at least I leave the person who helped me. Yes? So he is about to destroy the person who helped him. This is one typical quality of those with demoniac nature. Neither they have gratitude for what they have received, neither they have goodwill for the people in general. And to say the least, they do not even have gratitude for those who helped them. Somebody who trained you, somebody who empowered you. For them, anybody and everybody is a competitor. Anybody and everybody who is better than me is somebody to be eliminated. It can be my own teacher. It can be my own guru. So this is Vrikasur. So one way to benefit oneself is to improve oneself. One way is to work on destroying others, harming others. So I would say Vaishnavas, they work on the first approach. Vaishnavas, they always adopt the first approach. Whenever there is a conflict, whenever there is a struggle, whenever there is a fight, they think about improving themselves. How can I improve myself? Let me outdo others by improving. Let me make short the line by drawing another line next to it. Whereas demons, they never think about improving themselves. They are always into destroying others. There is another personality who also met Dhruv Maharaj. And somewhat closer to what Vrika is doing, he also asked from Narad Muni, give me something for my benefit. Vrikasur is asking Narad Muni, who is the easiest to please? So he wants for his benefit. And Dhruv Maharaj also met Narad Muni. But the interesting thing is, Dhruv Maharaj was impelled by Rajo and Tamogun. He had envy for his stepbrother, he had envy for his stepmother. And in response to what happened, he wanted some place from where nobody could dislodge him. So there's a lot of desires. So that is a typical quality of Rajogun. And there is envy to harm others. He was hissing like a snake. So that's typical quality of a tamoguni person. So he is full of rajo and tamo. But he happens to meet his mother. And what are the first words that his mother speaks to him? The first words that his mother speaks to him is, do not think ill of those who have harmed you. In this world, if you think of harming others, in due course of time, it happens to yourself. First words that Dhruv Maharaj's mother speaks is, don't think ill. I know what's going on in your heart right now. So she took out the tamoguni part out of him. The tendency to harm others, which is very prominently seen in Vrikasur, she took it out. So what remained now is Rajo. What remained now is strong desires to accomplish something which nobody else, even his own forefathers, had not accomplished. So then he ends up asking, give me a place. Padam tribhuvana utkrushtam. Something that nobody in the three worlds has got. Then he says, asmat pitrubhir. Not even my father, not even my grandfather, not even my great-grandfather. So his father is Uttanapada Maharaj. Grandfather is Swayambhuva Manu. And great-grandfather is Lord Brahma. He says, not even my pitris, not even those, my ancestors, something even my ancestors. This is also something very strong, Rajo. Yes? I want more than him. No, not only that. I want more than even my own family members. So you can imagine the Rajo in his heart. So, one thing that we want to highlight is, just because of an interaction with his mother, who was a devotee of Lord Narayan, she had that capability to at least take out that tamo part, the tamo component of his heart, and then what remained is Rajo. And interestingly, then he meets Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is also another pure devotee of Vishnu. Then he is so expert. So, you know, we know there are three modes, tamo, Rajo and Sattva. So, Suniti took out the tamo part. So, she did step one. The harmful part, tamo she took out. What did Narad Muni do? Narad Muni, oh, you want something? Okay. You pray to Lord Vishnu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, in that way, he doubted Rajo. So, from tamo, you usually come to Rajo. From Rajo, it's easier to go to Sattva. And from Sattva, then you can go to Shuddha Sattva. Pure devotion. So, Narad Muni, he didn't have to deal with tamo. He just had Rajo in front of him. So from Rajo, he could easily dovetail it to Sattvagun. And then he told him, you worship Lord Vishnu. And then you get what you want. So, while talking with Dhruv Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj tells him, I want something that nobody can dislodge me. So one interesting thing is, Narad Muni uses the word, are you sure you want it from Lord Vishnu? That's what you want. So he uses the word, yat prasadam savai pumsam duraradhyo mato mama. He says, duraradhyo. To Vrikasur, he's told him, suaradhyo. The easiest person to please is Lord Shiva. But Dhruv Maharaj, he clearly told him. So Narad Muni is a very transparent personality. Dhruv Maharaj told him, whom you are worshipping, he's duraradhyo. It's not easy to please him. But because of contact of his mother and then Narad Muni, he got elevated. Somehow Vrikasur, with his strong tamo, he could not take benefit of the association of somebody like Narad Muni. So Narad Muni has transformed somebody like Dhruv Maharaj, but seeing the thick tamasic nature to destroy others, Narad Muni preferred not to advise him. He just gave that answer to him. Another thing that we can see is Lord Shiva's name is Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. So here is auspicious. And similarly, we feel a person's personality is the way he speaks, the way he acts and like that. But actually deeper part of a person's personality is in his heart, in his motivations. Why does he do what he does? It's easier to get impressed by what people do. But it's very difficult to understand and then appreciate a person for his motivations. Why is he doing what he's doing? So people can put up a mask. And especially in Kali Yuga, we are very good at it. To mask our intentions, to mask our internal motivations. We can pretend to be very good people. But it is we who know what is going on inside. Krishna definitely knows what is going on inside. But since Mahadev is not Paramatma, Mahadev is a demigod, although he is the greatest demigod, he is not able to go into the interior core of something. He is not sitting next to the jiva in the heart, and that's why he cannot understand what are the motivations of a person. So many times demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, you can see they are pleased by some demoniac person, then they say, what do you want? And then they end up asking something that creates disastrous results for the whole world. But what can they do? They say, Tathastu. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, and now Vrikasur. Very rarely can I think of somebody who tried to please Krishna, somebody who tried to please Vishnu, and then with a hideous intention, he actually asked for something and then Lord Vishnu said, Tathastu. It's very difficult to fool Vishnu. And it's also very difficult to fool somebody who is very close to Vishnu. Why? Because they're sitting in the heart. They can understand our intentions. So that's why sometimes in Vaishnava association we get frustrated. The frustration that comes in Vaishnava association is not because of the inability of the Vaishnavas, the representatives of the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Lord himself in reciprocating with our desires. It's not their inability. It is their frustration in seeing, if I grant this person this particular desire, I fear that he'll end up less benefiting himself or herself and more in harming others. So that's why many times our desires are not fulfilled. Many times our prayers are not answered. And sometimes it leads to some kind of frustration. But we should be rest assured. If there is one person who hears our prayers, if there is one person capable of hearing every single word that we whisper with our mouth or in our heart, it is the Paramatma. It is Vishnu. There is nobody else capable in this world who can hear our prayers. So every single thought that we have prayed for is audible to the Paramatma. Still he is not fulfilling. Still there is no response to our prayers. Does it mean he is incapable of fulfilling? No. Does it mean he is not hearing? No. Does it mean he does not have a heart for his devotees? No. That's also not the case. Then what could be the cause that our prayers are unanswered? We have prayed so many times. Why is it unanswered? Maybe there is a problem of motivation. Because sitting in the heart, he can also see not just the externals, he can also see the internals. So his motivations are not very correct. His motivations are not very pure. The day you make your motivations pure, every single prayer before you complete the prayer will be answered. Another thing that we can learn is, sometimes we are in a position of authority. So Lord Shiva is somebody who is in a position of authority. Lord Krishna has granted him a position. You be in charge of this material world. His Bhava, husband of Bhavani. So Bhavani is in charge of this world and his husband of... So both of them, they are mother and father of all the jivas in this material world. It is through the agency of Lord Shiva that Lord Vishnu impregnates this material world. So in that sense, he is the father of all of us. So he has been given a certain authority, he has been given a certain post, and sometimes we also get a certain post. And then there are personalities who try not to please the original master, Lord Vishnu, but they try to please the intermediate master. So there are situations where people, because you are an authority for a certain situation, they report to you. And then they understand, because here is a person who is not completely pure. It's easier to mask our intentions and our motivations in front of this person. So it's easier to put up a false face and please our immediate authorities. And when I say immediate authorities, some of us could be those immediate authorities. So we could have situations where some people are trying to please us, mask their intentions. And because we are not pure, we also cannot go into depth of their hearts and understand what is their motivations. So if they are successful in masking, they are successful in faking it, then... they could please us, yes? And then because somebody is pleasing us and we grant them their benedictions, whatever they are, yes. And then we end up seeing, I granted some benediction to this person, I gave him some freedom, I gave him some space, and then he ended up abusing it. So, one thing that we could learn at our level is, if we are in a position of authority, and if we are not completely pure, we have to be extremely careful in giving some kind of powers, in giving some kind of benedictions, yes, to some people who seek them from us. The best person to award something to a sadhaka is the Supreme Lord himself, or the pure representatives of the Supreme Lord, that is Guru. Other than that, if somebody gets into the position of receiving prayers, receiving adulation, receiving eulogies, and you get into the position of awarding benedictions in response to those prayers, in response to those fervent appeals, it's a very risky proposal. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, their positions, they are great personalities. Sometimes they are called guna avatars, very close to Lord Vishnu, but they are not Lord Vishnu. They are not pure devotees of Lord Vishnu. Yes, pure representative. So they end up not detecting the cruel intentions of person who apparently seems to be very oriented for tapasya. Who would do tapasya? Tapasya is for purification. So here is Hiranyakashipu who is standing on his two toes for 10,000 years. Here is Ravan who did intense tapasya. What for? Temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. So tapasya was not the goal. Tapasya was the tool to future sense gratification. But they could not detect it. And they ended up granting. So we have to be very careful. It is only Guru Maharaj. It is only those who are really, really pure who can receive glorification and can award benedictions. Others, better we be on the safe side, lest we create trouble by empowering somebody who is not pure and then harming the community. What is the best benediction that we could give? We could learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but still he appeared as Bhakta Avatar. He is teaching us by his own actions. Apani Achari. What would Lord Chaitanya bless? If somebody comes to Lord Chaitanya, he is a sannyasi, he is guru, and he is saying, I am not the Supreme Lord. What would he bless if somebody would offer obeisances to him? Would he present himself as somebody who could award anything? No. He would say, Krishne Matir Astu. Let you be Krishna conscious. This was the only benediction I could come across many times when he was dealing with sadhaka devotees. Of course, with his pure devotees like Roop Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, he would behave differently. But we are talking of sadhaka devotees. The only benediction that would come out of Lord Chaitanya's mouth is, let you come closer to Krishna. May you come closer to Krishna. May you become more Krishna conscious than you are. Why? Well, he is granting the best benediction of all benedictions. Whoever you are, you are in Tamogun, you are in Rajogun. If you become more closer to Krishna, slowly Krishna becomes somebody who inspects your inner motivations, your inner intentions, and only then he grants you certain powers. Very difficult to fool Krishna. So that's the best benediction that we can ever grant anybody who comes to us. If at all we want to give him something. Talking of masking, just 2 days back, it was 25th of December. So it was one of the biggest festivals for Christianity. And it was interesting that on the eve of that day, the highest authority for all of Christianity is the Pope. So in his address to the whole world, he leads 1.2 billion Catholic Christians. He's the spiritual leader of all of these people. So every year on Christmas Day, a holy day, he gives an address. So this year's address, the Pope publicly announced, actually the festival of Christmas has been held hostage by materialism. In his own words, he's saying, the glaring light of commercialism has dimmed the light of God's grace. So he made a fervent appeal to all his followers that we should go deeper into our religion, into our ideals. What does Christianity originally stand for? So he said, now also we have feasts. So it seems, you know, on a Christmas day you have a feast. So he was saying, Even now we have feasts, but the protagonists, the main people, the center of attraction is we, not Jesus. This is words, you see. So, you know, this is that thing that we call as ritualism. So he is publicly accepted that most of Christianity today is more of ritualism than of spiritualism. The essence is gone. The original purpose for celebrating the festival has long gone. It is just now coming together, have a feast, have something to drink, have a nice time together, enjoy. So it's very interesting that the leader of the biggest religion on this planet right now has publicly announced on the greatest festival of the religion that actually Christianity has been held hostage by materialism. And we are speaking this not to condemn them, but just for a humble reminder to all of us also that it is 2000 years old. We are 50 years old. So something that happens to another person in his adulthood can serve as a reminder to us in our childhood. That if we stay focused on what the essence of Vaishnavism is, it is not about showing off. It is about always remembering, who am I as a Vaishnava? Vaishnava is not one who dresses like a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is one who is a servant of Vishnu, who is a servants of Lord Vishnu. So if we always stay focused on what is my duty? My duty is to serve. My duty is to never become very task oriented. It is always mood oriented. And if Krishna sees that I have the right intentions, if I have the right motivations, surely he'll bless me. Surely there are many more miracles to happen. Wonderful Krishna can always create wonderful devotees to accomplish wonderful things in this world. Why would somebody get into this destroying mentality? Why would Vrikasura, when he sees a personality who can give him immense benedictions, easiest to please, why would he not ask something for his benefit, but rather ends up asking something for another's destruction? So we have a small discussion on that. Only when we focus on the limitedness of the resources of this world that we end up getting into this grabbing mentality. So I know there is a certain amount of resources in this world. So if I don't get it, somebody else gets it. If somebody else gets it, I don't get it. Either or. It can never happen in this material world, considering the limitedness of the resources, that both of us get it. So when would this mentality creep in? The more we lose the essence of Vaishnavism, that finally it is the Supreme Lord who is providing. It is not the farmers who are providing. It is not the clouds which are providing. It is not the sun which is providing. Yes, the immediate source is that, but it is the Supreme Lord who arranged for these objects to provide to us. So if you always remember that, that's why we have to focus on the essence. If we remember that, then we know the Supreme Lord is complete. Unlimited completes come from this complete. And even after unlimited completes come from this complete, what remains is still complete. Om Purnam Adah, Purnam Idam, Purnat Purnam Udachyate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Eva Avashishyate. So, even after so much has come from the Supreme Lord, He still can give us much more than we can ever expect. So why would we become greedy? Unless we accept that actually I have shifted my focus from the unlimited Supreme Lord, who can be complete, giving of complete, but still remain complete, to the incomplete material world, which is forever incomplete. And the more we take from it, it becomes more and more incomplete. So somebody who's more into material, the greater we are focused on the material world and the temporariness of the material world, more we'll end up unconsciously getting into the grabbing mentality. He should not get it, I should get it. More we remember, it is Lord Krishna who's providing through material nature, through his material agencies. But if he is the provider, he can provide unlimitedly to his devotees. So a devotee will never be in shortage. Whatever we get, we stick to the essence. We never get into grabbing mentality. We never get into harming others mentality. You pray to Krishna for benefiting yourself. Never pray to Krishna for harming others, like Vrikasura. In a Vaishnav community, when does this grabbing mentality, how does this come up? It comes up in the form of competition, in the form of edging others out. So one person was saying, what is E-G-O, ego? Edging God out. You edge God out of your life. So, five rasas in which we can relate to the Supreme Lord. The lowermost is Shantaras. What is Shantaras? Shantaras is, you just look at the Lord and say, oh, you are so great. But there is no activity, there is no service. And then Dasya and so on. So Vaishnavas, they don't even pray for Shantaras. Because they feel, what is the point in just looking at the Supreme Lord, in just glorifying Him without asking for some service? Real Sambandha is when we do some service. Many mantras of the holy names. So many mantras. Why is Hare Krishna Mahamantra so special? Because the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is, oh dear Radharani, oh dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. There's, in this pastime itself, we are talking about Dhruv Maharaj. So the mantra that he got was, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What does it mean? All glories to the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Oh, all glories to the Supreme Lord Narayan. Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ho, Ramchandra Bhagwan Ki Jai Ho. So all these mantras, if you see, it is a passive glorification of the Supreme Lord. Just like somebody is standing on the side of a street and a king and his procession is passing. So what are most people doing? Most people are saying, all glories to the king. Raja ki jai ho, Raja ki jai ho. And the procession is passing. One or two people out of them will say, it's not just enough to say Raja ki jai ho. Let me go and ask the Raja, can I serve you in some way? You are a great Raja. That's why Raja ki jai ho. But great Raja, I would want to serve. So similarly, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudev, all glories to the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Oh, all glories to the Supreme Lord Narayan. Oh, all glories, all victory to the Supreme Lord Ram. All these mantras are very great because they are accepting the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. But what is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra which Lord Chaitanya gave to us? Don't just speak all glories to you. Say all glories to you, but I also want to serve the all glorious. I want to do my small, tiny, spider-like seva to serve you. It does not matter from Lord Ramchandra's perspective whether you are Hanuman or you are a spider. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is focusing on service. So now we are caught in a paradox. If you serve, you don't want Shantaras. So if you serve, you end up competing with another Vaishnava. And the more you are focused on the material mentality, more you will end up grabbing mentality. So then you grab services from others. You do not allow, you do not facilitate others to serve. No, this is for me, this is for me, this is for me. All these services only I will do. You watch the show. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't serve, there is no progress. You can't just keep shouting, all glories to Radha Krishna, all glories to Radha Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is saying, no, get up, serve, do something. And if you do it, then we end up in the grabbing mentality. We end up because we are focusing more on the limitedness of resources. So what do you do? So Lord Krishna is saying, Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena yasevate sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Lord Krishna is saying in the 14th chapter, the Gita, saying somebody who serves me unfailingly, avyabhicharena, without deviation, I promise him, one day he will come out of the modes. This is sagunan samatityaitan. So one thing that comes from inside is, see, there are fights amongst Vaishnavas. So many conflicts amongst Vaishnavas. So even they are contaminated. They are also focusing on the limited. So you know, you better go out. But what hope is there for us if we go out of Vaishnava association? So our only hope is, Lord Chaitanya is saying, the purest personality is saying, serve. So we have to serve. Now, when we serve, there are all these thoughts that come. But outside there were fights, outside there were conflicts. Now in Vaishnavas also I see sometimes arguments and fights and then possessiveness and so on. So what do you do? So that is the hope for us, that Krishna is saying, if you keep serving unfailingly. So what will it take for us to serve unfailingly, even when you see ritualism in spiritualism is tolerance, is focusing on the higher principles. Because it's immediate. You see it right next to you. There are certain things that should not happen, but they happen. So what do? You get demotivated. In one commentary to one shloka in the 6th chapter, Shripad Ramanujacharya, he comments that there are two kinds of desires that a living entity gets. So he calls them Sparshaja and Sankalpaja. So Sparshaja means janm hua hai sparsh se, out of contact with sense and sense objects. So he's saying there are certain desires, like hot water in this season. Yes, in the morning when we bathe, it's very attractive to have warm water bath. So that is Sparshaja, good food on the tongue. That is Sparshaja. And then he says there are some other desires in the mind that are called Sankalpaja. Sankalpaja means you want something in the future. So somebody's desire for fame, somebody's desire for wealth in the future, that is Sankalpaja. So he says out of both of these, which one is more difficult to control? So very clearly Ramanujacharya says, out of Sparshaja and Sankalpaja, it is Sparshaja which is more difficult to control. Why? It is immediate. We would think it is easier to control desires for wealth. I don't know. He says, no. Yes, that's easier. More difficult to control desires which are Sparshaja. Why? Because they are immediate. Similarly, it's easier to get affected when you see certain things happening just next to you. So when you read in the pages of the Bhagavatam, oh, one time there was Deva and Asura Sangram. One time there was Samudra Manthan and all that. Oh, okay. You know, many, many years back, lakhs of years back, there was Deva Asura Sangram. But if you see a small little fight, not a huge fight, so all the Devas on one side and all the Asuras on one side, it's a huge thing going on. It's a huge thing going on. And okay, no problem, it happened lakhs of years back. But a small conflict between two devotees happening just next to you, it has the potential to put you off more than reading that Deva Asura Sangram, is it not? You're reading that pastime, do you actually get affected by reading one time all the Devas and all the Asuras had a big fight? Imagine, it must be a huge fight. But it does not affect us. Why? It's not immediate. It's not close to us. It's happening way off in the distance. So what to do? You just have to tolerate. Just have to keep focusing on the essentials. Just keep focusing on the higher principles. That if all these devotees keep serving, how do I contribute? First thing is, I don't flare up the fire. If possible, I quieten the fire. But even if we are not able to quieten the fire, at least what we can do is just fold our hands and keep them somewhere locked up, that we don't flare up the fire. So there are all these small fires going on. Least we can do is we don't flare it up. Least we can do is we contribute by not participating. And the more we serve, Krishna is saying, sa gunan samatityaitan. The more we serve Krishna unfailingly in every situation, it is winter, summer, rainy season, it is favorable, unfavorable, it is war zone, or it is peace time. But we keep serving Krishna. So anybody who sticks to this principle of serving Krishna no matter what, serving Krishna no matter what, serving Krishna in times of distress, serving Krishna in times of peace, Krishna is saying, you will cross over the modes. So when we cross over the modes, then there is no rajo, then there is no tamo, then there is no fighting, then there is no grabbing. The Brahman, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati, is above the three modes, is above the material world. So even the Brahman is unlimited. There is a beginning of unlimitedness. So just by serving Krishna unfailingly in all situations, we can rise above this grabbing mentality. We know with GPS, yes? So GPS is three things. Where are you right now? Where do you want to reach? And what is the shortest route from here to there? So comparing it to our life, where am I? A little honest introspection. 5 minutes you spend with yourself, you can understand where am I right now. How much rajo, how much tamo, and just a small dash of sattva. So here I am, caught up in the lower two modes. You read Gita, you understand where Krishna is, you understand what is the spiritual world. So I know my coordinates, I know where I want to reach. This is easy. Introspection can give us our coordinates. Reading of Gita and the Bhagavatam can give us Krishna's and the spiritual world's coordinates. Now the most difficult thing is how to get from here to here. The third part is that which is very difficult. So even in an ordinary GPS on a phone, where you are, I know, you don't have to tell me that dot on that, is it not? I already know where I am. Okay, some good information, this is where you want to go. The most critical part is, how do you get from here to there without obstacles? So if there is a route from here to here, and on that particular day, if that route is clogged up, there is some traffic jam, then the GPS gives you an alternative route. So it says, don't go from here, you go from here. And the mind rebels. The mind says, don't you understand? Just look here. The distance is just this straight line. And now the GPS is saying, no, you go like this. There's a reason. The reason is, on that day, in that particular situation, the shortest route was clogged up, so it is giving you an alternate route. So the third part, how, is the most important and the most critical part. So comparing it to our situation, we know where we are, we know where we should. How to get from here to here? That is the Guru's advice to us. So I will call the GPS not global positioning system, I will call GPS the Guru positioning system. The Guru is telling us, this is where you are, this is where you want to reach purity. You want to reach pure devotional service? This is the route from here. Yes? Now the thing is, Guru Maharaj knows 1,000 routes from here to here. Which route does he advise to us? That may not be the shortest route. That may not be the easiest route, like Vrikasur was asking. Tell me the easiest route. Guru Maharaj will tell us the route that works the best for us. So a certain route, which is the shortest route, may not be working today for us in our situation, depending on my tamo, depending on my rajo. So he tells me, you go by this route. I say, hey, that person is going by that route. Why are you telling me the longer route? Well, because that route is clogged up for me. I have a huge vehicle, the bridge on that road is only for a moped, for a motorcycle. So he says, don't go by this route, you'll get stuck up there, you go by this route. But then we argue. That's why it's very important to understand, Krishna knows what is in the heart, Guru knows what is in the heart. And when Guru speaks, he does not just speak about our coordinates, he does not just speak about Krishna's coordinates, he many times speaks on the path from our coordinates to Krishna's coordinates. That is where mostly we miss out. Because information about my situation is information. Information about Krishna's spiritual world, very attractive. It's a very sweet world in the spiritual world. That's also very attractive. The path from here to here is a very laborious path. It's a path of struggle. It's a path of denying our own intentions, our motivations, trying to inspect, am I really pure-hearted or am I really pure-faced only? I just have a pure face. So the more we listen to Krishna and the more we listen to Guru Maharaj, the more we listen to pure personalities, that is where we understand the path. Yes. But as soon as we talk about this, there's another voice that comes from inside. Says, you know what? This is idealism. Being humble, servant of servant of servant of servant. As soon as we hear the second or the third servant, servant of Krishna, I know, yes, I want to be servant of Krishna. It helps to be servant of a great personality. Many doors open up. Okay, to some extent I will also accept becoming a servant of Krishna. But becoming a servant of servant, four times, five times, six times. This is idealism. This is impractical. Yes, there's a voice from inside. So, always remember, our fight is not against, just against people outside. People who argue against Vaishnavism, people who argue against spiritual culture. There's one very important enemy that we forget in our spiritual struggle. That enemy is inside. There's something called as our mind. And we can speak for unlimited time on this topic of how the mind is very dangerous. But to cut it very short, I'll just give you one example. Our country faces two kinds of troubles in a very broad way. One is danger from outside and one is danger from inside. Now, relatively speaking, many times when we talk of enemies of the country, we always think about the border. That's where all the trouble is. That's where most of our weapons are there. But, you know, somebody who's inside, he can create much more damage than somebody outside. So what is the function of the enemy outside? To destroy us. So he keeps bombing the border and then there is a lot of trouble going on the border. In what way does the enemy inside harm us? He harms us by distracting us. So if there is some good thing that is happening in India, then the outsider enemy comes and bombs it, destroys it. So that is the destructive potential of the enemy outside. It's very difficult to infiltrate the border of India. It takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of efforts to infiltrate the border of India. What about the enemy inside? Think about some people who are dressed in civilian clothes, not in the opposite neighbor's army clothes, easily identifiable. Civilian clothes with guns hidden under their clothes, moving around on the street right now. And suddenly they come to a very important location, start shooting. The fear that is created by terrorist activities is much more than the fear that is created by reports of bombings on the border. Is it not? Yes? We just get alarmed by the bombing reports on the border, but we know there is a huge army out there with tanks and battalions and air force planes to counter it. So if you hear about 10 bombings that happen on the border, it does not shake you. Why? Because you know there is equal amount of force. You hear of one small gun shooting incident in Bombay city, the whole city gets alarmed. Why? It's much more closer. And it's happening in a way that is not detectable. We don't know when will the next situation happen. So I'm comparing the mind not to the enemy outside, I'm comparing the mind to the terrorist inside. So many times our whole focus is on the enemy outside. We do not take care of the enemy inside. So whenever Lord Krishna talks about being humble, what is the qualities of a good person? Then he says, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantir, arjavam, simplicity, humility, non-pridefulness. There's almost a voice that comes from inside. You know what? This is impossible. What Krishna says is idealism. Sometimes Guru Maharaj says, servant of, actually there's a hidden word, image, this is idealism, be practical. But you know what? If you see Krishna consciousness, it is practical idealism. If you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He's not just saying Gopi Bhartur Padakamalar Das Das Dasanu Das, he practiced it. He is the source of all Vedanta, he is the person whose breathing is the Vedas. The Vedas are the breathing of Lord Narayan. But when Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya tells him, you just sit here and I'll tell you what is Vedanta. He sits. He actually sits and he does not sit for 7 minutes. He does not sit for 7 hours. He actually sits for 7 days. Just think about it. He is the source of all knowledge. And here is a person who claims he will teach him, who will elevate him in a standard of knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya hears, does not speak a single word. There is no facial expression. What? What are you saying? This is nonsense. He is patiently hearing. Only when Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya asks him, did you understand anything? That is the time when he says, actually explanations are usually to explain something that is difficult. So something is difficult, you explain it. So Lord Chaitanya says, I understand the Vedanta Sutras which are difficult, but I don't understand your explanations which are more difficult than the substance that you are trying to explain. Your explanations are clouding the real meaning. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, then he gets it. I didn't elevate him, he's already elevated. Lord Chaitanya, he heard, first time when he went to Varanasi, he heard from the Maharashtrian Brahmin that the Mayavadis out there are criticizing you, saying, he is just a Bhavuk Sannyasi. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Did Lord Chaitanya release his chakra? They call me Bhavuk, they call me sentimentalist, who's just engaging in a... He just laughed. He didn't take it seriously. On his return trip from Vrindavan, again when he stopped at Varanasi, that is the time when they told him, he arranged for one person to invite him for lunch, and then during that function they had also come. There was no retaliation. When he met Ramdas Vipra in Madurai, and Madurai Ramdas Vipra, he told him, he invited him, Lord Chaitanya, for lunch. So Lord Chaitanya went to his home for lunch and he didn't cook. So Lord Chaitanya said, it's time now. What happened to the cooking? He said, actually Sita Devi has been kidnapped by Ravan. I'm in pain. He was actually a very dear devotee of Lord. He was still in that mood of Ramayana. He is saying Sita Devi has been kidnapped by Ravan. So Sita Devi will cook. And Sita Devi is not here. So who will cook? And he is sitting actually morose. So what did Lord Chaitanya say? Lord Chaitanya, did he actually become heavy on him? What are you saying? So he in his own way, he advised him. See, actually according to the Agni Puran, Sita Devi is spiritual, she is the internal potency of Lord Ramchandra. How can anybody even touch Sita? Because you can't even see the internal potency of the Lord. Sita Devi cannot be even seen by those who are lusty. What to speak of? She can be touched. Actually, it was Maya Sita. Actually, it was Chaya Sita. When she went inside for bringing arms for Ravan, she went inside and she went with Agnidev, and a false Sita came out, and that false Sita was grabbed by Ravan. And during Agni Pariksha time, this false Sita went into fire and the real Sita came out. But he could not be convinced. So what did Lord Chaitanya do? He went ahead in his journey to Rameshwaram. I checked. It was 168 kilometers. 168 kilometers from Madurai to Rameshwaram. In Rameshwaram, he came across a manuscript which substantiated what he said. He tore off the pages and carried those pages back 168 kilometers to Ramdas Vipra and told him, see, this Puran, it clearly says, it was Chaya Sita. Ravan did not touch Sita. You don't be... That is what transformed Ramdas Vipra. So Lord Chaitanya, he hears 7 days. He sits in a dirty place where the sannyasis wash their feet to transform Prakashanand Saraswati. He walks back 168 kilometers just to transform one personality, Ramdas Vipra, because he's genuinely... Is this not idealism? Is this not idealism? This is idealism. This is very much idealism. But this is idealism that transforms. So Lord Chaitanya is telling us, if we live according to these ideals, it is tough, it is difficult. But if we can somehow tolerate, if we can learn from our acharyas, we can get the power to live a practical ideal life. And if we can lead a practical ideal life, then we can silence the terrorist inside. So don't tell me all these things. Krishna is saying we have to live by these principles. Guru Maharaj is saying we have to live by these principles. I want to honestly struggle to live by these principles. And when we clear our heart more and more, then when we ask for some benedictions, we won't ask for destructive benedictions. We won't ask for harming others. Mostly we will ask, I need more mercy. I need to improve myself more. So we'll stop here. I just end with one small quote from Radhanath Maharaj. Radhanath Maharaj one time was saying how when he met Srila Prabhupada, he had met lot of gurus and all of them had spoken a lot of high philosophy. So he said, when I met Srila Prabhupada, I found what Srila Prabhupada spoke encompassed all the other philosophies. Whatever every guru had spoken, Srila Prabhupada was already speaking that. So that was a good reason to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. But he said, not only that, he said, when I saw his disciples, I knew the background of his disciples. And I saw that not only Srila Prabhupada is pure, but Srila Prabhupada has given a process where the dirtiest people can also become pure. He said, that is what actually convinced me to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. So many times, we are here, Guru is here, Krishna is here, and he also gives us a process to come from here, to purity. It's just a question of accepting that doable. Somebody with all bad habits can become a pure Vaishnava. Only is, are we sticking to the process? And if we stick to the process, we can convince unlimited people to also become Vaishnavas and to also become recipients of the mercy that Krishna is giving to us through the parampara. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.